If you don't have an email list, then you don't have a direct line to your customers. Reaching your clients, audience, supporters, and fans with the right message at the right time in the right place becomes easy when you've got a strategic email list in place. My email list is the number one way I drive profits in my business. And major bonus here, it's a lot easier and way more fun than you might think. That's why I'm teaching a free live workshop all about growing your email list called From Zero Subscribers or Zero Strategy to an Engaged Email List That Lasts. I'll show you how to kick off your email list building strategy with no fear, because I know it can be scary to start something new in your business. Save your virtual seat at growanemaillist.com. Inside of my free live workshop, you'll learn why email marketing is 10 times more effective than posting on social media, my secret to sending out weekly emails without adding a ton of work to my plate, my best tips for getting people to hit subscribe, and what to actually say to them to convert them from subscribers to paying clients and customers. Save your seat now at growanemaillist.com. That's growanemaillist.com to get started with an email list strategy that drives real results. I'll see you at the masterclass. Nowadays, I am constantly learning. I'm probably learning more at this stage of my life than I did when I was 18 or 22. But I think that I am more engaged in learning because the things that I'm learning are the things that I'm seeking out and investing in very specifically. Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. It is time for an Ask Me Anything episode today, and we're going in a bunch of different directions. When I asked you what you were curious about, what you wanted to ask me, the questions were amazing. From how to schedule your day, to delegating the right tasks in business, in life, to my favorite snacks, how to get into a health routine, and the perfect recipe for a homemade latte. We are going in a bunch of different directions, but I hope that it's going to be a fun ride. This episode is all about you, my amazing listeners. And honestly, I love doing these episodes. So today we are diving into all the questions you have about life and business and basically everything in between. Thank you so much to those of you who send in questions. Your curiosity and your engagement, it means the world to me, and it makes these episodes super special. The questions from this episode today come from our Gold Digger Podcast Insiders Facebook group and our Gold Digger Podcast Instagram page. These are both really great places to hang out if you want to connect with other people just like you in the pursuit of their biggest goals. We have a community of over 300,000 people just like you, listeners of this show, side hustlers, entrepreneurs, mothers. There are so many people that are waiting to connect with you. So if you are not a part of our community at large, take a minute, go to the show notes or the show description. We've linked up the Facebook group and our Instagram page for you to join in on the fun. And without further ado, let's dive on in to all the questions you have for me. Okay, real talk, are skinny jeans out or are they in? My friends and I continue to have this debate, and it just goes to show that trends come and go and come back again. And the same goes for marketing strategies. Like, who can even keep up? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is an all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's honestly so much more. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. This report will give you all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning into next year. So friend, do not get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get your free copy of the report today. That's HubSpot.com/state of marketing. Buckle up and here we go. So the first question comes from Kind Organizing on Instagram. She says, how do you schedule your day as an ADHD business owner and a mom? So last week's episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it. It is all about batch working strategies. And I talk about having themed days. And this has been so transformative for me. So usually the first part of my day is dedicated to straight up momhood, making breakfast, getting kids dressed, doing hair, getting them out the door. And then my day begins once they leave to bring Coco to school. And then oftentimes I'll take a break around noon and I'll help put Quinn down for her nap. And then I am either watching a monitor or just like available to jump in so that Drew can have a little bit of time to himself. And then generally speaking, they get home around 4 p.m. and then I'm on mom mode until the kids go to bed at 7. So that's kind of how the day is broken up. When it comes to work, batch working has been the best blessing for my busy brain so that I can try to stay more one-track minded, because my tendency is to context switch, to feel like I'm staying super busy. But when I'm doing that, when I'm constantly switching tasks or having a million tabs open and not really clear on what I need to get done, those are the days where I feel like I worked all day, but I didn't actually accomplish anything. And so this year, I've been really trying to honor rhythms, to try to stack my days when my energy is the highest and kind of leave a little bit of bandwidth and wiggle room for the afternoon, and really just be conscious of like, what is my dream day? What does that rhythm look like? How can I honor that? That does not mean that every day is perfect. Recently, we had like an entire week of snow days so that both kids were home, no childcare, juggling everything, like trying to work it out. And so there has to be this level of flexibility. And I often have to remind myself the reason why I love entrepreneurship and pursued it in the first place was for freedom and flexibility. And so just trying to remain nimble and open as much as I possibly can so that I can try to juggle both. One thing that I am working on a little bit more is taking just like a 5-minute breather before transitioning from work into motherhood. Oftentimes, I will work until the very last minute, slam down my laptop, and then go and be with the kids. And when I do that, my brain is still in work mode and I have a really hard time detaching that. And so I've been trying to get into this practice of like just taking a minute to ground myself, to kind of close off all the brain tabs of the workday and scoot into motherhood. And then the final thing that's been so helpful for us is we have this box that is in our pantry and that's where our phones go, and it tracks how much time our phone is in the box. So it's like gamified for not being on your phone. And Drew and I have a rule that like we are not on our phone in front of our kids as much as possible. And so generally speaking, like when the workday is done, my phone goes into the box. I don't take it out until after the kids are in bed. That just helps for me to stay more present with them and just be like more in their world. So definitely not perfect. Still learning a lot about my brain and trying to honor the rhythms and this season of life. Okay, next question is, Derica Buckner on Facebook said, what was the biggest risk you took in your business that paid off other than starting your photography business and then pivoting? Okay, right away when I get asked this question, this is what I think about. So one of the greatest risks I took was joining a mastermind, and it wasn't just a small mastermind. It was a very high ticket mastermind. And what was super interesting and what I'm really grateful for is, one, I made this huge investment on myself. I believe it was like $20,000, which was a ton of money at that time for us. But I also put myself in a room with people that were doing very different things than I was. And so it could have been really easy for me to try to join a photography mastermind and be with other photographers because that's where I was in my career. But I joined a mastermind that totally stretched me. It was with people who had podcasts and YouTube channels and courses and memberships and masterminds of their own. And so when I think about that investment, I remember being really nervous, but also feeling really sure. And one thing that I've learned about myself over the years is when I make a large investment in myself or in my business, I am dead set on proving that it was a worthy investment. So I am all in. I will participate in every single facet of it. I will take action and implement. And so joining that mastermind was probably one of the biggest risks. I remember writing out the initial check, and Drew thought that was the total amount, and that was like the deposit. And I remember thinking, okay, I gotta like, after this first meetup, I've gotta like apply what I'm learning to earn this money back to really prove like that this was smart. And I did that and then some, and the connections I made in that mastermind have totally changed my life. And they're still friends I have to this day, years and years and years later. So that was probably my first really big investment in myself and in my own development and growth. The next question is from Julia Duca 5 on Instagram. And she says, what's your opinion on college versus experience versus certifications? I feel like this is a juicy one, and I'm going to try to answer this as best as I can. So I've actually had to think about this a lot, specifically in setting aside money for my daughter's futures. And there are different savings plans that you can put aside money for your children for college or university. And I really had to pause and ask myself, like, what if my kids don't want to go to college? And I will say that I think college is amazing, not only to get a degree, but I also just think that that's such formative years in your life. And when I think about college, I think about figuring out how to be on my own and having to be accountable and showing up to class and practice, because I was on the diving team. I met Drew there. I met some of my best friends there. I joined Bible studies. Like, there's just a lot of really formative things that happened in those 4 years beyond the learning. And obviously the learning is so valuable. And so I definitely think college is super powerful, but when I look at it, I think it's really powerful for that stage of life. So for those years, if I were at my current age and having to make a decision, do I go to college or do I get a certificate or get experience? I would choose the latter two options because I'm not necessarily going to college for those experiences per se. And so nowadays, I am constantly learning. I'm probably learning more at this stage of my life than I did when I was 18 or 22. But I think that I am more engaged in learning because the things that I'm learning are the things that I'm seeking out and investing in very specifically. And so again, I think college is powerful. I have nothing against it, but I honestly think that I like it even more just for the experience of it and for what you learn about yourself in that setting later on in life when you're different in your career or you're pivoting or things like that. I think there are so many different ways that you can learn. And for me, the best ways I've learned: online courses, masterminds, mentorship, investing in those types of things. And that's where I think you get the opportunity to turn decades into days when you get to invest and learn systems and things from other people that can save you time, money, energy, and frustration. So that's my opinion. If my children want to go to college, I will absolutely support that. If they don't want to go to college, I definitely want them to have a very solid and thought out plan of how they are going to navigate those years outside of high school. That's just my thought. And guess what? It's probably going to change. My kids are 5 and 2. So I'm going to guess that this thought might change. Okay. Trisha Lancaster on Facebook says, as a mom, a wife, and entrepreneur, what tasks and chores will you not do ever and that you make sure you delegate? So I don't think there's anything that I'm above doing. I mean, I was out shoveling snow and using our leaf blower to blow off our patio when we got our recent huge snowfall. So there's like nothing in my life that I feel like I'm above, because at some point or another, I've done basically everything. I will say, so we have amazing house cleaners that come every other week, and that is such a blessing for us. I love them. I love them as people, and it just really helps like freshen the house up. We are very, very neat and tidy people. A lot of times people will like show up at our house and they'll be like, wait, like, did you know we were coming? Like, we like to have things very clean and calm within our house, but house cleaners are huge. I am a person where like I would way rather outsource like snow removal or sometimes even yard work, but Drew enjoys doing those things. So I have to like let that go. Yeah, that's really it. One thing that's been so amazing is that we have a part-time nanny who comes for about 6 hours, 2 days a week. And when Quinn naps, she does our laundry. Having help with laundry has been such a game changer. Oh my gosh, that's been amazing. And that's really it. I feel like I do most of the normal things, but having those like extra support things have been amazing. I am just someone where I look at my time as money. And so most of the time it would make sense to outsource basically anything, in my opinion, so that I could either be working or with my kids. But sometimes I realize like there is joy in the slowing down and doing things. And I'm learning that a lot through my sourdough bread experiment that I'm doing right now. I'm just learning that like good things take time. So I'm learning all that. Felicia G asks, what is the best part and the hardest part of this stage of motherhood for you? Okay, so my kids are 5 and 2. And this is honestly such an amazing time. I feel like I could cry. I love this stage of motherhood so much. I don't know why I'm so emotional. They are just amazing girls. Like they are so independent and joyful and fun, and they love each other. And I don't know, there's just been so many experiences lately where I feel like Drew and I look at each other and we're like, we're out of the weeds in so many ways. It's just amazing to watch them come into their own. And they're so individual, and I love them for that. Like, I love how they're so uniquely themselves. And there's so many little moments. Like recently I took Coco to the dentist and I didn't realize mine and her appointments were at the same exact time. And so she had brought books along, and all of a sudden they come back and call her name and she had to go back by herself. And I could hear her talking to the hygienist and talking to the dentist with confidence as a 5-year-old. And like just a few years ago, she wouldn't even leave the room without me. And like seeing just like that independence and that confidence is so beautiful. The other day we were at our lake house and she said like, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go play outside. And like, we both looked at each other and we're like, we trust her. She's good. And so it's just hitting a different stage. And then Quinn is like so easygoing, go with the flow. She's hilarious. She's 2 and she talks in complete sentences. She is such a good communicator. And I love it because she's starting to assert herself more, because for the first 2 years of her life, she's just literally gone with the flow, but she's asserting herself more. And I like love that too. She's just this like strong, confident little girl. She's so great. The hardest part I will say is that my kids are more conscious of if I'm working or not. So it's cute because they'll say like, Mom, you got to go to work. And I'm like, yep, got to get work done. And like, they're okay with it. But I feel like I am very conscious of like, I want them to know, like I'm always available for them and things like that. And honestly, I'm working rather part-time right now, but there is still that mom guilt of just different things that pop into my brain of like, I should be doing more. I should be with them more. I should do this. And it's like, okay, I'm working very part-time. They're always with a parent basically. And so that has just been the thing that's always ongoing. And the only way that I can really combat that and continue to combat that is just being very grounded in what I'm doing is what I'm meant to be doing right now in this moment. So right now I'm working. I am meant to be working. This is where I'm most powerful. When I'm with them in an hour, that is going to be the most powerful decision at that time. And I actually love that they're seeing me in this stage, you know, going to a sourdough bread making class with my mom and just like doing things for myself as well, because I want them to see that like when they are older and grown up, like they can have passions too outside of motherhood. Okay. Hannah Michelson 1 says, what's your favorite coffee order or how do you make it at home? So I actually only like drinking my own coffee, how I make it. And I'm very particular. And so now when I go to a coffee shop, I just don't love it. There's only one place in the whole world that I love more than my own coffee. And it's a place called Kaleidoscope in Scottsdale. And they make the best nootropic coffee in the world. I crave it. Drew gets mad at me because I want to go every single day when we're in Arizona. But I have been making my own homemade cashew milk every single week for 2 months. It's so easy to do and it is so delicious with your lattes. So over COVID, we bought an espresso and then we got the little milk frother. And I make my own homemade cashew milk on Mondays, and then I have it for all week. And I make a little cashew milk latte with some honey and sometimes some cinnamon on top. It's so delicious, but cashew milk is so creamy and it's delicious and it's really easy to make. And it's fun to make something on your own. I don't know who I'm becoming, but that is my favorite coffee order. And then sometimes in the afternoon, I'll make a second cup and I'll just do a Keurig. And then I'll add in the 4-Sigmatic creamer. They have this really good creamer that has like nootropics in it. And I'll also do a little scoop of collagen in it. And so oftentimes I have two coffees a day, but I love making them for myself. I love them at home. Whenever I have a latte out and about, it tastes so sugary to me. I don't love it. So interesting.
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. When it comes to content creation, you either do it because you love it or because you know it's a powerful business tool. Now, either way, it takes a ton of work. Whether you're building your website from scratch or struggling to manage payments, you need Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate one-stop shop that's been my go-to for almost a decade. Yes, nearly a decade. It's designed to help creators and entrepreneurs build thriving online businesses with steady recurring income. Whether it's blogging, coaching, or podcasting, Kajabi makes it simple to transform your passion into profitable online courses, exclusive membership sites, and so much more. Over the years, Kajabi has been my rock, from hosting my signature courses like the Pinterest Lab to handling transactions without taking a single penny of my money. That's right, you get to keep 100% of what you earn. With Kajabi, you get powerful analytics, simple payment options, effective email marketing tools, and beautiful website templates that you can customize. And here's a little secret. You don't need a massive following to earn a great income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi who are making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers, and you can be one of them. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/goal. That's kajabi.com/goal. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion today at kajabi.com/goal. Okay. Joanna Newkirk on Facebook says, is it possible to build an affiliate business using Pinterest only? I'm interested in a business that will generate an extra income. Okay, so let's answer this question. So to build an affiliate marketing business only on Pinterest, yes, it is possible, but it's not necessarily what I'd recommend. So we love affiliate marketing. We drive seven figures of revenue in affiliate revenue every single year. Affiliate marketing is huge for us and we love it. We love talking about things that we love. So easy to do. When it comes to Pinterest, the goal of Pinterest is to connect people with what they're searching for. So if you were to just run a straight up affiliate business where you are literally just linking your pins to affiliate links, it probably wouldn't do great. You might get a little bit of revenue, but it's not like you're creating a true customer or a fan. How we use Pinterest for affiliate marketing is we create amazing resources about topics that people might be searching about, like five non-toxic skincare products you need to have, or our favorite email marketing software. Then when people click on the pin, it takes them to our blog where we actually explain, here's why we love this. Here's my own story. Here was my transformation. Here's what I've learned about this, with the affiliate links baked into the content. So you could totally have an affiliate marketing business on Pinterest, but you need to understand that Pinterest is a search engine And when you upload a pin, you can connect it to any URL. It would be so much smarter to connect it to a URL that you own and can control, like a website or a blog, so that you can capture that person's attention. Because if they like what you've got for one post, they might like what you've got in the future. When you capture them for your email list, then you can be in touch with them. And they're not just a one and done customer where you're collecting a small affiliate commission, but there's someone who ongoing checks their email or stays in touch with you and trusts your recommendations for future things. So yes, you can run an affiliate marketing only on Pinterest using that as a platform, but you have to think through how are you creating content around those affiliate products so that you are selling them in a meaningful way and not just linking to someone else's shop or an external place. And then also, how are you capturing that person's information so that you can have more of a lifetime value with that person instead of just a one and done transaction? I hope that makes sense. If you want to learn more about Pinterest and kind of understand the strategy and how it works, you can go to my free training. It shows you how to 20x your traffic in under an hour a week without paying for ads. You can head to teachmetopin.com. That's teachmetopin.com and sign up for that masterclass. And that might help break it down how it all works a little bit better. Okay, Woods and Ivory says, what is your favorite gluten-free snack? Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. This is kind of a Minnesota one. Hopefully other people know what I'm talking about. Have you ever had, I think we call it like Midwest sushi. It is ham and then cream cheese and then a pickle and you roll it up and you slice it up. It is so good. So that is one of my favorite snacks, which is embarrassing. But I literally remember I was like 2 days postpartum in bed with Coco and Drew brought me up this plate and it was like cheese and ham and pickle roll-ups. And I was just like the happiest person. I also love cheese. Like I love good cheese, like good sharp cheddar cheese. So cheese and crackers. We recently found some really good gluten-free pretzels. So there's one brand called Quinn, really, really good. And then Snyder's actually has a good gluten-free pretzel. I'm trying to think of what else I love. I love so many things. I love nuts. How boring is that? But I love nuts. Yeah, I like a lot of different things. One thing that's been interesting in terms of the gluten-free world is I've been gluten-free for 7 years now. And recently, both of our kids went gluten-free. So we've been navigating that as parents. And overall, it's actually been going really well. And it's been an easy transition just because all of my stuff was gluten-free. So my kids were pretty aware of it. We've just been very hyper conscious around the language about it and how it makes us feel and just like symptom tracking and things like that. So that's been interesting, but I've had to find more snacks and get a little bit more creative, especially with my kids. Okay. Amy E. Bowling on Instagram says, how do you evolve when there's literally no time for anything else? I get it. Boy, do I get it. So here's what I will say. I actually have a chapter about this in my book called How Are You Really? Where we talk about the enough point. And every single time I've had these like skyrocketed results in my career, there's been one thing present. And that thing that is present is creating more time. And I recognize that all of us are busy, right? Like I laugh when somebody says like, oh, when life slows down, we'll get together. Like has life ever slowed down? It's only speeding up. But at the same point too, like the first time this happened for me was when I went from making six figures as a wedding photographer and being burnt out, saying I would way rather make $50,000 a year and have a life again. That was the first big decision that allowed me to free up time. And with that time, I learned all about digital courses and my life changed and my income changed even when I wasn't even focused on that. And so every time I've seen a huge jump or change in my business or my brand, it has all been rooted in time. And so the first thing is like figuring out how do you say no to other things? If you are looking to evolve or have more time to work on your business or the next phase of it or stage of it, you have to figure out where can you steal time from? And that means that you're probably going to have to say no to things that you're currently saying yes to. And for me, I've had to often say, okay, what is my enough point? Like, what is the point where I feel safe and secure? I know all of our bills will be paid. I'm not going to be stressed financially. But then I'm saying no to everything beyond that. And when I look at even my wedding career as a wedding photographer, I went from 25 weddings to 27 weddings to 30 weddings. Then I cut down to 15. Then I went down to 8. Then I went down to 4. And so I was still hitting my enough point, each year, but I started to recognize like my time was more valuable in other places. The other thing is putting your phone away more. So do not disturb, logging out of apps, deleting them from your phone, and setting aside like super focused time where you can dive in and really explore what that evolution is. I get it. We're all stretched thin. So I don't disregard that reality, but you have to get scrappy and figure out first off, what can you start saying no to? Second off, how can you maybe habit stack? So listening to podcasts or taking digital courses while you're driving to work or different things like that in a way that it's not taking away from your life, but it's just bringing more in that will help get those creative juices flowing. And then just getting really honest about your user habits with devices, technology, social media, and more. Okay. Shelly Norns on Facebook says, how do you always have an endless supply of beautiful, relevant, and natural photos of yourself? Are they all taken by a photographer? Do you set up your own selfies? If so, how? And how do you organize them for future use? Okay. This made me laugh because I do not feel like I have an endless supply of images. I feel like maybe a couple years ago I did when I was really shooting content for social media on an ongoing basis. I feel like I have fallen off of the bandwagon. So one time a year, I do a branding shoot. So these are the images that go on my website, in my ads, on my graphics, like basically everywhere where it's just focused on me. It's not my family. It's just me. I'm going through outfits to figure out, okay, how do I want to put myself forward as a brand? So that's one time a year. You usually get a couple hundred pictures. So like you could probably do one of those and have enough content for a very long time. We also do family photos a couple times a year. Now, keep in mind, I don't show my kids' faces on social media. And so what we share from those sessions, it's very limited. We usually share just a few shots there. And then lately, since I've been posting more reels than still images, I am just using content that I am shooting myself in my home. So I have a little tripod. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see. And it just connects to my phone. And so it's this little tripod. And then I have a magnet on my phone and I can very easily set it up, hit record, shoot content. Is this my favorite type of content creation? No, but B-roll content of just like your everyday life does really well on social. And so sometimes Drew teases me because he used to shoot a ton of my content. And now that we've switched to more video and less photos, he doesn't actually shoot my content very much anymore at all. And so a lot of times I'll just set up my camera and my phone and hit record and just be recording like silly tasks, like making a salad or making my coffee or walking on the treadmill, like whatever that is. And then I have an entire album on my phone titled B-roll. And so when I go to make content, I have all those different videos right there ready for me to use. So it's not the most fun thing in the world, but it is very handy when you're trying to create content. And I would just say, like, you're never going to feel ready. You're always going to say like, oh, when I curl my hair, the next time I have lipstick on, or when I lose 5 pounds or whatever it is, whatever your excuse is for not getting in front of the camera, just start getting in front of the camera. If you have the ability to book a branding session with a local photographer, do that. You can knock out so much content in a very short amount of time and you can use that content over and over again. And then ask loved ones to take pictures of you. Like, as embarrassing and silly as it is, people that love you see you with such beautiful eyes and they'll help you get the content that you need. All right. Amy Kelly Photography on Instagram says, I'm a photographer of 10 years. I want to scale my business and start offering products, courses, and mentoring. How do I overcome my self-limiting beliefs? I am overthinking everything. Okay. So Amy has a decade of experience. Do you remember earlier in this episode when I said you can turn a decade into a day? That is what you can do when you have experience and you have found success, no matter what it is that you're doing, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what project you're working on. If you have gotten yourself or someone else results, you have something to teach and share. You have created a system, a strategy, a flow. You've probably been frustrated. You've probably wasted time and money. You can save people from all of that with teaching. The one thing that I will say that I loved is before I started creating courses for the masses, I did one-on-one mentoring in this tiny little condo that Drew and I owned when we first got married. And in those mentoring sessions, I learned so much about what people were curious about, what they wanted to learn. And I also started to pay attention to what did I keep repeating? I was constantly repeating myself. And finally, I was like, okay, this is what people need. They need branding. They need pricing. They need templates. Like, it made sense when I started to see a trend of like, I've mentored five people and all five of them have asked these five things. This would make my course. And so I feel like one-on-one mentoring is a great way to build up your confidence, to ensure that you can get someone else results, and to pay attention to the trends and the things that people keep asking you that you are a genius in. Because honestly, so often we are too close to our own genius that we think that the things that are so common sense for us are obvious for everyone else, when really they could change someone else's life or make it so much more simpler. So I would say start with one-on-one mentoring, start to really notice the trends and the things that you keep getting asked, then start creating either products or courses around those things that could help serve the masses. Because with one-on-one mentoring, you can't scale that without scaling the amount of time going into it. So do that as a first step, build your confidence, get people results, gather testimonials, see where people get tripped up or where you want to refine your strategy, and then start to think about one to many. So creating something once and selling it many times over. But you got this. A decade of experience is not nothing. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best, you're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth. LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply. On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. All right. Zoe Willis on Facebook says, do you think the power of Instagram is fading and what is its future? As there is more emphasis on slick reels to drive growth, I have the sense normal people, consumers, aren't on there as much. There's no incentive to create casual content, static or otherwise, and the main feed is just becoming a scroll of advertisements. If Instagram does become a paid for service for businesses, do you think it will survive? So I... If you were to define my relationship with Instagram right now, it's complicated. It's not my favorite platform right now. In fact, like just social media in general, I'm a little bit exhausted by. Keep in mind, I have been showing up consistently for over a decade, for like 13 years on these platforms. So it's okay to be fatigued. I am not seeing a lot of people actually grow on the platform right now. I feel like a lot of people that have larger accounts are either just staying stable or they're dropping in followers. I do think that there is a lot of power for micro influencers to rise right now. I think a lot of times the bigger people have gotten, the more commercialized it becomes, as you mentioned, where you feel like all you're seeing are links and affiliate links and advertisements, and you start to like not necessarily trust those people because you understand the business of it. And so I think this is where micro influencers are going to rise up, where people still trust them, trust their discernment. Not everything is an ad. They're still growing the know, like, and trust factor with their audience. And so I think it's a really beautiful time for smaller accounts to grow. If you are a big account, I don't know, maybe you can keep growing, but I feel like it's kind of stagnant. I think that it's always a good reminder to not put all of your eggs in one basket. So if Instagram is the only channel you're focused on, focus on things like Pinterest or LinkedIn. Like, make sure that you are diversifying where you are showing up. Create systems so that it doesn't become overwhelming. But remember, you don't own your followers and you can't control their experience on the platform. And so this is why having something like an email list is so important. The goal of social media should be the handshake. The real place where you serve and sell is your email list. And so any efforts that you're putting into social media, the main goal should be to get people off of those platforms and onto your email list. That's it. Like, that's the only thing. And so I don't know. I don't feel like it's fading. I feel like it's pivoting and changing. I feel like the content and the way that we're creating it isn't my favorite iteration of Instagram. I loved when things were more heartfelt and slower paced. I feel like everything is so fast and quick hits, and you don't get complete thoughts, and it's sound bites, and you don't actually get to explain what you mean. And so I'm curious to see what the next evolution is and how it will continue to change. But the one thing that's constant is that it's always going to be changing. Janet Egan says, how is your business doing not being on Instagram as much? I don't want to be on social all the time. How do I still grow my business? So this is a great question. Speaking of Instagram, I have been pulling way back on social media lately. It just has not been making my heart sing, and it's not been a space where I just feel very creative. I feel like behind the scenes right now and in my own personal life is like where I feel most alive. And so my business is doing great. And I think that's because I've built so many systems behind the scenes. The infrastructure of my business is not necessarily reliant on social media. Social media is like throwing gasoline on the fire, but the fire is always burning. And so if the only way that your business is sustained is by constantly showing up, I don't think you really have a business. I think you have built yourself a job. And so for me, my business is doing great. I recently just took like an entire 10 days off of social media without putting anything up. I had nothing to say. I was just living my life with my family, and nothing really changed with my business. And so it definitely adds gasoline to the fire. Let's say if we're in a launch or different things like that. But I'm trying to find that balance of like not ghosting for an entire 10 days and figuring out, okay, what is a rhythm that feels good, that honors how I feel about social media in general, that still shows up and connects with and serves my audience, but it doesn't feel like it takes away from my life. And I think one big shift that I've experienced lately is in the past, I looked at everything as content. Like, that was just how I was wired as a photographer. I could just see beautiful images and, oh, this would be so cool. And the unwiring has been so intense for me where I don't look at my life as content anymore. And therefore, I haven't been shooting anything. So I feel like I have nothing to show. I'm either with my kids, who I don't show online, or I'm working behind my computer, which isn't fun for anyone to watch. And so it's trying to figure out that balance of like keeping it real, showing real life, but also protecting the parts that are most sacred to me. So make sure that you have things that are running on autopilot in the background. For us, Pinterest is a great way that we drive traffic where we're not having to show up every single day. Facebook ads helps fuel the different funnels that we've built. My webinars are constantly working for me. So there's different things that are going regardless of if I'm showing up on social or not. And my business is doing great. And so it just inspires me and encourages me to know that it's okay to pull back if I'm not feeling inspired. All right, here we go. Last question is from Megan Lair. It says, most thoughtful networking question you've been asked, what helps you go beyond the surface level and have a deeper and more connected conversation? So my favorite question to ask someone, and something that I think I've been asked before. So there's two. One of them is, how do you define success in your life right now? So like, finish this sentence. I know I'm being successful when. And it looks different for everyone, depending on whatever stage of life they're in. Like, so for me, I know I'm being successful when I am present in my work and also present as a mom and not thinking about the other when I'm doing one. The second question that I love to ask people, and this is a bit deeper, but this is what you asked for, is what would your 8-year-old self be sad to know that you no longer do? And what would they be happy to see you doing today? And I feel like that's so powerful because you get to connect with people's inner child, which I think is so beautiful. And I also just think it kind of reminds you of like the things that made you come alive when you were a kid. I remember when somebody asked me this question the first thing I thought of was playing the piano. Like I loved playing the piano as a kid. We now have a piano in our house, which reminds me I should be playing it more. And so I love that question. And my 8-year-old self would be so proud of me for doing things like this podcast and just like entertaining people and showing up and being myself and being honest and doing that. So, okay, I lied. One final question on the docket. Chelsea Dameron says health update. So here's my health update. I am in a very beautiful spot with my health. I feel like I have been incredibly consistent over the last 2 years and that so many of the things that I've been implementing over the last 2 years has just become a part of my routine. Recently, my therapist was just talking about it and she's like, these things are now as common to us as breathing. So, you know, I know that some of my habits aren't super relatable, like taking a daily sauna and a cold plunge. Like that's not accessible for everyone. I recognize that, but that's part of my daily routine. Literally every single day since we moved into our house last January, I've cold plunged. I've not missed a single day. So I have just been incredibly consistent, been super consistent in moving my body, been really focused on fuel and figuring out the right fuel for my body, and just paying attention to things like my blood work to try and figure out different ways to tweak my regimen and my protocol and get things like my cortisol and my thyroid under control. So there's not really a huge update. I think the biggest update is just consistency and continuing to like anchor myself into this new identity. And so much of it is happening offline, but nothing has really changed. It's just been staying incredibly consistent. And I'm very proud of myself for doing that. Okay. I think that wraps us up. Wow, we went in so many different directions. We talked about chores. We talked about lattes. We talked about gluten-free snacks. We talked about planning our days. We talked about Instagram, so many areas. I hope that this conversation was interesting. And I just want to, again, thank you so much for being a part of this community, for being a listener of this show. If you haven't yet, take a minute to make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any future episodes. We have some really good episodes coming up that you don't want to miss. And if you have a second to rate and review the show, it would mean the absolute world to me. I read every single review. I love hearing from you. It touches me deeply and it just helps inspire me every single time I sit down to record. And of course, if you want to ask a question for the next time we do an episode like this, make sure that you are following the Gold Digger Podcast Instagram account and you are inside of our Insiders Facebook community. They are both linked up in the show notes and show description for you. Join us inside. There are so many amazing entrepreneurs just like you waiting to connect and so many beautiful relationships, friendships, partnerships, collaborations have been formed inside of that community and that space. Join us inside of it. And of course, until next time, Gold Diggers, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for Gold Diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com. Hey, Gold Diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer care team is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.